Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something, something, Bronco. With Lord Lattimore Volton, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. Incomplete. Hello, everybody. I am Jess Place, joined by Lori Lattimore Volkman and Tim Lynch, and I have a very special announcement. I will be elevating my role as co-host of this podcast to senior podcast co-host. Take this lightly. I've been thinking about it for months.
Which one of us is retiring?
That's right. Right. I'm going to elevate myself to senior, senior. And Tim might go senior, senior, senior.
I will no longer have total decision-making control over my portion of the podcast. My successor will have to run everything through me, but they'll be in charge. In case you have missed it, the tongue-in-cheek joking aside, John Elway stepping aside from being the head honcho, the big guy, general manager. He's not going to do that, but he's still going to be in the building. I think Adam Malnati put it the best. It's like he's the Queen of England now. He's just there for show, just there to wave, open the malls. All the real decision-making will be handed off to someone else. Tim, what do you think about John Elway stepping back and up and to his side and out?
In all seriousness, I think it's a PR move. I think he'll finish out his contract and officially, quote, retire at the end of this year. I hope that he'll have some involvement in the hiring process along with Joe Ellis. I don't know if I trust Joe Ellis entirely to make this decision on his own.
Why? Because he picked Josh McDaniels?
Maybe.
Just curious.
The good news is without John Elway, the, quote, patience of the fan base will evaporate with his departure. I think he was a good shield to those above him for the struggles that this team has had the last 5 years. With John Elway kind of being phased out, there's no longer going to be any patience. Because John Elway, for all the struggles the last 4 years, John Elway made this franchise. You know, going back to 1983 when he came to the team, he's done so much for this organization, him and Pat Bowlen both. I think having him on in the front office after Pat Bowlen passed away and stepped back has kind of like shielded the whole franchise from a lot of what normal franchises would go through without an owner. So I think it's a good thing long term, good or bad, whether the team gets out of this rut that it's in, not having John Elway in the building is going to be a good thing because it's really going to hold some feet to the fire elsewhere. That's where I'm at with it.
What about you, Lori?
Yeah, I feel like it's probably the right move for Elway and for the Broncos. Been a rough couple of years, and as Elway said, fresh eyes on the roster will be helpful. But I have to say, I'm still a little saddened. As much as we've been talking about whether Elway will remain after his contract is up next year, and probably assuming that he wouldn't, feel like the announcement yesterday kind of hit me like, oh, dang. Like, John Elway is not really going to be part of the Broncos. Not really. It's a little bittersweet, to be honest.
When the announcement came out, it was like, oh, he's just stepping back. Like, it's kind of like, oh, okay. And then you saw this press conference, and it wasn't like the press conference of someone who is taking an elevated role. It's someone who is being asked politely to step aside. That's kind of the feeling I got. He kept referring to his age. Yeah, I don't know. Watching the press conference, I didn't get the sense that it was something that he really wanted.
Right. And Brandon Cristal had a tweet where he quoted Joe Ellis, and he said, John Elway, if anything, he is not a quitter. He's a fighter. He's determined. And I think he needed to wrestle with some things before coming to this. This was not only his decision, but the right decision. And I tweeted a reply to that. I'm like, huh, the right decision. This sounds a little more like Joe Ellis has engineered this decision, doesn't it?
Right. Well, and then there was an interesting part where he's talking about Matt Russell and how he's retiring, stepping away. And he's like, and Matt, you know, he's a real smart guy, Matt. You know, he'll land anywhere in the league. You know, he's going to have a lot of opportunity. And it's like, well, that's not what you say about someone who's really retiring. What do you mean he's going to have a lot of opportunity? If he's stepping away to retire, to truly retire, then.
Normally, if John Elway were just retiring, then the guy below him would be in line to be considered to take his place.
Yeah, and they even tried to bill it like Matt Russell had an opportunity to interview for the position and he chose to retire instead. But then he's also going to have opportunities elsewhere.
Yeah,
it's like, okay. Well, he knew he was not going to be seriously considered for the job and just said.
Well, and frankly, nor should he be. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if we're going to be brutally honest and hold Elway's feet to the fire over the last 5 years, then everyone below him also deserves the same type of scrutiny. And above him, Joe Ellis, we see you too.
Yep, you're no longer going to hide behind the shadows, sir.
To be honest, I'm no fan of Joe Ellis, so I would rather have seen that situation get resolved, you know, before we were deciding on Elway's contract. So it kind of happened backwards. I'm not sure that's going to work out in our favor. We'll see.
Elway's such a big personality with the Broncos in general and Denver.
Yeah.
He made it easy for the ownership situation to just kind of be in the background.
Evaporate. Yeah.
You know, and with Elway going out, it's going to become a very big thing. These are the Denver Broncos, him and Pat Bowlen.
John Elway is going to do what's right for the Denver Broncos. You doubt John Elway and the Denver Broncos? You're doubting me? I'm John Elway.
I'm not saying John Elway feels that way. I'm just saying fans in general, the city, the media, it's John freaking Elway, you know?
Well, yeah, there's an infallibility there. I mean, he did bring us all of our Super Bowls.
So. You know, seven of the eight Super Bowls have been under his watch, you know?
Yeah.
And as we have now learned, Joe Ellis doesn't plan to stay on as CEO past his contract in 2022. So that tells us that either he sees a transfer of power to Brittany Bowlen in the very near future, or he believes the team is going to be sold. And I have a strong feeling it's the latter, because the situation with the Bowlen children taking over the team is a hot mess. There's a final, hopefully final, trial in July that should resolve whether Beth Bowlen Wallace, one of the eldest daughters, could even become controlling owner, or whether the only path for a child to take over is Brittany, who is the current choice of the trustees. But since all the children essentially have to sign off on one of them becoming controlling owner, and they can't seem to agree on that, I think there's real question about whether they'd vote for one of them overall, whether it'd be Brittany or Beth. And last year, interesting note, Roger Goodell made it possible to issue fines to teams that are not in compliance of having a controlling owner. They want to get rid of this trustee controlling team kind of situation that the Broncos have. And so teams have to pay $10 million per year if they don't have a controlling owner, and individual owners, like in this situation, you know, trustees or the children, could have to pay up to $2 million individually. So, you know, none of those kids wants to pay $2 million. The Broncos don't want to pay $10 million. So I think a sale is the most likely option that we're going to see with the Broncos, especially with Ellis's departure in a year.
Big incentive to figure it out. And you know, well, and they're also trying to force Joe Ellis's hand in the courts.
There is the court case that Beth Bowlen and her sister Amy and their uncle all brought years ago, trying to argue that Joe Ellis and the trustees did not follow Pat Bowlen's wishes when they put this whole thing into motion with deciding who would be the next heir.
Pat Bowlen's wishes was to keep Joe Ellis untouchable in perpetuity. Wasn't that his hope? I mean,
doesn't that make sense? Everybody knows that.
I want to have no one to answer to and get all the perks of being an owner.
It's clear that Brittany Bowlen is the favorite, right? So I would like to see her involved in the GM search. I'd like to see her on the committee with Joe Ellis, with John Elway, maybe even include Vic Fangio if Fangio's going to be working hand in hand. But to involve Brittany Bolin heavily in the decision-making process would be a very transitional move.
I don't think so either.
And if she's not,
it undermines his position as the supreme leader. Why would he elevate anyone else when he absolutely doesn't have to?
It doesn't look like Brittany Bolin will be involved. I just see a tweet from Ellis interview here on Tuesday. Vic Fangio, John Elway, Joe Ellis, and probably Patrick Smith will be involved in the GM interview. That will be it.
We should rephrase that for the Broncos. And definitely Patrick Smythe.
Yeah.
Brittany is the clear choice of Joe Ellis, the trustees, and the Broncos.
Mike Kliss.
I don't think there's a clear majority among the seven kids. They have to agree.
Is that what the trust says?
I believe so.
Well, if they're minority owners, then yeah, they do. They get some say.
I think because of this luxury tax, I think they're leaning away from ownership in the family. Even they'd rather sell the team and make bank. So
I'm pretty sure that's what the lawsuits are about, is getting to a point where they have to sell, because, you know, there is going to be a lot of money involved there.
Exactly. Beth and Amy and their uncle, Pat Bolin's brother, are trying to fight for the fact that Joe Ellis did not do this the way Pat Bolin wanted. And that would allow a clearer path for Beth to take over. And Beth might be far more interested in selling than keeping the team. And I think Brittany is probably more likely to keep it, but not right away, because she's not quite ready. And so that allows Joe Ellis to be in power longer.
Isn't it funny how it's been like 2 years and she's still just not ready yet? God, you know, I mean, she's almost there. She's going to get it someday.
I mean, we were so fortunate to have Pat Bolin as an owner. And the more you look back and the more you just read about his legacy, you realize how incredibly lucky we were as a franchise to have that kind of owner who cared so much. But at this point, I do not want that Bolin family involved. I think those kids are a mess. I think it probably would be better for the team if they could find a legit buyer with big bucks.
Back to the general manager conversation.
Right, and back to the actual position that is being filled.
That just speaks to the larger issue. Like, we know that John Elway stepping aside is going to be probably okay for the general manager thing, but until ownership gets resolved, it's going to be an unsettled situation. And just what is John Elway's role? I mean, he says that the GM is going to have autonomy, except he's going to have consultation and final okay, but not final okay.
I don't think we'll see Elway in the office much this year. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is he'll collect the paycheck and ride off in the sunset, but he'll have no real duties or roles in the club.
Well, and that's going to be what the new general manager is going to want. They're not going to want to come into a situation where they have to answer to a guy who is, quote unquote, not going to be in the office every day anymore. They're going to lure in someone. They're going to have to understand that they are in charge. Like, and John Elway is John Elway, but I don't think you're going to have someone who's going to want to have their decisions, looked over. It just adds another layer of a pain in the ass to someone coming here. I used to work in movies and everything, and I was always like, well, why can't you just attach yourself to the project and become the producer? My boss always told me, he's like, look, it's like baggage. Either you carry the baggage or the baggage carries you. And so if you put your name, Mr. Nobody so-and-so, on this movie, then you are weighing down the movie with your baggage. Something is going to have to carry you and the movie now, as opposed to someone wanting just the movie. And so that's what I see in this situation. It's the John Elway kind of nebulous position. It's no longer carrying the Broncos as it did, back when he took over for Brian Zanders and Josh McDaniels and that whole thing. I mean, he was like the saving grace. He was carrying the Broncos, but now he is like kind of this thing that's like weighing it down. If you're a general manager coming in to the Broncos, you see this giant garment bag of John Elway slumped over your position, and you're going to have to deal with it. And that's a pain in the ass.
I think any rational person will realize that Elway's role is not going to be a thing for the new general manager. And then Ellis said Elway won't meddle in GM decisions. So Elway is not at all involved in any of the football operations moving forward. But he is employed.
And his title is still chief executive officer, right?
Like football operations, yes.
Yes. So he's the executive officer of football operations, but will not be making any football operations decisions.
Right. He yes. is president. He basically, John Elway has a title right now because
he's the queen. He's turned into the queen. Just get him like a little dainty glove so he can wave as they open malls and stuff throughout Denver, you know, like when coronavirus is over and we can go to malls again. Think how great that will be.
No one goes to a mall anymore anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's going to be hired. He's going to come in. It's his roster. It's his situation. His job will depend on being successful. And that's going to come down to, it's really going to come down to what the new GM is going to think of Drew Lock. The general manager's future is really dependent on who is the quarterback. And they're going to have to decide, if he decides Drew Lock's the guy, his future is going to depend on how Drew Lock does. Because general managers rise and fall based on how well their quarterback plays. And it's that simple. The NFL is a quarterback's league, and if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you don't have a GM that's going to be a GM for very long. It's as simple as that.
Which is why Pat Bowlen hit pay dirt even more. you come in the year after John Elway is your quarterback.
I don't really know anything about any of the candidates. Mostly because I have chosen not to. Tim, however, and Lori, I know that you guys have been reading up all about this.
We should name who they are. Probably one of the big ones is Champ Kelly.
They confirmed on Tuesday that they formally requested an interview of Champ Kelly.
He's with the Chicago Bears. He was with the Broncos during the time we brought in Peyton Manning and all our superstars, right? So he's got some good pedigree when he was in Denver.
He's smart enough to know that DeMarcus Ware was good. So that's a positive. Who else? So we got Champ Kelly. Who are the other candidates?
A few names that were mentioned were Adam Peters, who the 49ers hired, is the Broncos' former director of college scouting, I believe. He's now the vice president of player personnel with the 49ers. Nothing official there that, as we know yet. And then also John Spytek.
They got Spytek.
Director of player personnel for the Buccaneers.
Like, I swear to God, if we hire him, we have to do the Spytek commercials and the podcast because cancel the mission. They've got Spytek.
And Ellis today spoke a lot about improving diversity as an organization. He mentioned that 75% of the players are African American, and that's going to be a big focus in terms of who they interview as for general managers. So.
There was like some coach that every team they'd interview like six white guys and then this guy. And it's just like,
for coach or for
GM? Yeah, for coach. And you're just like, oh God, they're just Rooney ruling this poor guy.
Well, this year it's like I know Eric Bieniemy is getting interviews with every team, and he did last year. It's like you look at the Chiefs offense and the way that thing is run, I just don't understand how he's not getting promoted to head coach at this point. But the Chiefs were successful before Patrick Mahomes, so it's not like it's just all Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith had some really good seasons. It's frustrating to see the teams obviously abuse that rule, and nothing's ever done about it. But yeah, that's a different conversation for another day.
Okay, fine. We'll have an off-season conversation about it later. Something we haven't talked about that is probably pretty likely. I almost would put money on the fact that we're probably going to have Hard Knocks this year.
Oh no!
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be fun. Something to blog about.
And we'll be something to blog about.
The Hard Knocks crew goes into Joe Ellis's office. They're like, "So what do you do?" And he's like, sharpening pencils. He's like, "This is what I do all day." just got a box of pencils on his desk.
And then he has a dartboard behind him with all the bowling children, and he throws darts at them. Or Elway. You know Elway and Ellis do not get along.
Not now.
They don't. I don't think they've gotten along for years. I know nothing. I'm just reading between some very obvious lines.
Like any press release that comes from Joe Ellis, it like has like his picture on the sideline, like, look at me. Like, who are you, dude? You're not an owner. You're not like, you're just this guy that we can't get rid of.
Dave Logan is putting out a book called If the Walls Could Talk, Stories of Broncos and Broncos History.
I want to read it now.
The publisher sent me a PDF copy to do a post on with an excerpt. Anyway, there's a great quote that he has from Elway talking about Pat Bowlen, which really struck me right now more than when I read it. But Elway said when they were players, Pat Bowlen just seemed so cool to them. He was like, they loved having a cool owner, a guy out there in his cowboy boots on the sideline, talking to players, being really relatable to players. And now that you mentioned that about Ellis, it's true. Like, these players don't even honestly associate the Broncos with Joe Ellis. It's John Elway, and that's it.
I'm taken back 1 year during the draft, but the Broncos got this great idea. They were going to have a webcam feed into the war room during the first day of the draft. All of a sudden, in wanders Pat Bowlen, like, and he's clearly just come from the gym, and he's like all like, you know, in his like little sweat outfit, and he's just kind of like comes in, and he's just like got a towel around his neck, like, how's the draft going? What's going on? You know. And it's just like, oh my God, Pat Bowlen just like wandered into the draft. He's clearly been working out. He's just hanging out at the facility. Like, how cool is that? And then you see, I think it was like Brian Zanders or somebody like point at the webcam. And then like 2 minutes later, the feed was over. That was it. That was pretty cool, especially because we got to see Pat Bowlen. Oh, by the way, we lost to the Raiders. The Broncos have the ninth pick.
We're not talking about that anymore.
No, we're in full offseason mode. Forget that game.
2021 draft. Let's go.
I would have liked McManus to have hit that 70-yard field goal, though. That would have been pretty cool.
Somebody, I think it's Joe, which cracked me up, was talking about how if we're not going for quarterback, we better be trading back that ninth pick. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We'll probably trade back to 13 and be right where we would have been had we won that game.
Yes, but we will have another second round pick to go with it.
Oh, all right.
And Matt Stafford.
I do not want Matt Stafford.
No, I can't go down that road again. We're not doing that again.
We did that. Sunday night, I was sort of thinking about the whole Raiders game, and I was pissed as usual. And I was like, you know what? I'll tell Jess that I'll do his horse tracks for him because I've already got an idea. And I was just going to say the Raiders suck. And that was going to be my entire post. But I saw Tim had put in there that he had you covered. He'd take care of it. Then, of course, his post was good because it was just all the great quotes from Jerry Jeudy. So I'm like, that was a lot better than what mine would have been.
Well, Tim nailed it. He's last week, he's just like, and chapter 10 of We Lost Again. Like, who am I going to hate on this week? Who's going to block me on Twitter this week? It's like, I guess that's it for Something Something Broncos 2020 season edition. We're done with this season. Let's turn the page, piss on it. Fuck it. I'm done.
All we need is a new owner and a new GM. We're one owner and a GM away from the championship.
Yeah. And Matt Russell is going to have plenty of opportunities in retirement.
Yeah. Again, I'm sad to see Elway fade into the background a little bit. I would have preferred that we went out with a winning season and he just decided, just like he did as a quarterback, like, this is now the time I want to move on.
He got his "this one's for John." He's good.
He's good. We're good.
And he got to say "this one's for Pat," which was super special. I mean, I think he achieved what he set out to do. It just didn't quite work out the way at the end, the way he wanted it. When we'll look back on John Elway's tenure, we'll remember the "this one's for Pat."
It burned bright and it burned hot. This one's for you, John. Thank you. That concludes Something Something Broncos for this week. I am Jess Place with Tim Lynch and Lori Latimer Volkman. And you can listen to us always on Mile High Report podcast blah, 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 wherever you get your podcasts. Blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
A correction on the reporting of the foul. Both teams were on the, both up, both fouls were on the kicking team.
Be right back.
Tim just keeps turning on record and leaving. I don't know
about, I'm hungry.
I know about that.
Come on, Idaho.
I'll be right back.
Let the potatoes cook. Is that a twisted iced tea you're drinking? Or are you about to beat someone's ass? We'll do it live.
Fuck it. You just got jump scared.
God, I thought I was under attack. All right, hey, sorry. Could you go back upstairs? Please be quiet. I hear you guys thumping around up there.
I had no idea that the Raiders is a team that we don't care for was a Floyd Little quote until I saw
either.
Your tweet.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah, that's from my interview with Floyd.
Yeah.
At the beginning of our podcast, is that him? Is that his voice?
Yeah, that's him.
Holy shit, I had no idea.
I didn't either. I probably didn't mention it.
I had the same thought, Lori. I was like, holy shit.
You've been listening to Something Something Broncos, a feature of MileHighReport.com with Lori Lettimore-Volk, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch. Get involved in the conversation at MileHighReport.com.